Good morning. This is Pastor Irvin Schmidtke from the Free Lutheran Church of Roseau and the Free Lutheran Church of Norland at Salo, Minnesota. We are bringing you the half-hour broadcast, and let us be favored as we begin with a song from Rhonda Rothenberger. Chapter 24, and I will be reading the first 9 verses there in Jesus' name. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their heads to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these words, and we bless this message as it goes out to the hearers, that their hearts and minds would be in tune with you. In Jesus' name, Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see it's an Easter sermon or an Easter text. In it, we find that Jesus rose from the dead, but on Good Friday, he had died on the cross of Calvary. On that cross, he gave up his divinity and he paid the sin debt for us in the form of a dying physical man, but one of holiness and purity. He was sent by the Son, by God himself into the earth for the plan of salvation. Through that, he was nailed to the cross. He took the beatings for us. He took the reproach for us. He took the rejection for us. And he did all of these things for you and for me. He did it so that we could have salvation. As he hung on that cross, and as he was despised on that cross, and he cried out and said, "It is finished." He had finished the work in which he had been sent to do by God the Father. And we find that as he called that out and he gave up the ghost, he then was put in the grave, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And he rose from the dead to show us a guarantee that you do have life after death, that you do have life of an eternal substance, that your life after death is forever. In that, he showed us a guarantee that he had had the victory over sin, death, and the devil, that he had victory over the grave, that he rose again from the dead. And in this, we find that he did it to show us and to guarantee to us that we can have salvation by believing on him and having him as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus talked different times to his disciples and others about his crucifixion and his death. And he tells us in Luke 9:44, he says, "Let these words sink down into your ears," as he was talking to the disciples, "for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." And we've seen that at the Last Supper, that Judas Iscariot, thinking more of his physical being than his spiritual welfare, went and betrayed Jesus Christ. Betrayed him to the chief priest so that they could take and arrest him. And in arresting him, they had false accusations against him in which they accused him and killed him. And he did it all for you and for me because he was the Lamb of God that was crucified on the Passover time, as the lamb was back in Genesis when God told the people there to put a lamb on the 10th day. And they were to take a lamb without blemish into their homes. And they were to love that lamb for 3 days. And on the 4th day, they were to go out and kill it and take the blood and put it on the posts of the door. So when the angel of the Passover came, he would not kill the firstborn, but he killed the firstborn of all the Egyptians, of the first of everything, the cattle and the people. And we find this was the plague that Pharaoh told Moses, "Take your children and go." Egypt at that time was at the pinnacle of their height of power in the world. Egypt was one that had been set up and that had served its purpose in the fact that it had saved the people of the world some years before when Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. And when he was sold there, he is the one that interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made him then prime minister, and he for 7 years kept back 20% of all the grain that was harvested and stored it. And in the 7 years of famine, they fed the world. And in those 7 years, Jacob came to Goshen or to Egypt with 70 people. And 400 years later, when Moses was to lead them out, they had about 1 million people. Moses was one that had went through trials and hard times. If you will look, God sets up kingdoms and he'll tear down kingdoms. He will set up kingdoms throughout the world. Egypt was one of the first ones, and we find that even Satan was trying to destroy God's work at that time. We find that Satan, before Moses was born, Pharaoh had taken and said, all Hebrew children, if they're males, they will be killed. And yet Moses' mother took and hid him in a basket, and he was found in the reeds by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter then in turn accepted Moses as her own child, and for 40 years he lived in Pharaoh's court, learning the ways of the Egyptians. Then he went out one day and he found that the Egyptian was beating a Hebrew man, and Moses killed him. The next day, two of the Hebrew guys says to Moses, are you going to kill us like you did that Egyptian soldier? And Moses got scared and fled into the wilderness. For the next 40 years, God trained Moses to get used to being alone and working with him in the wilderness. And one day, Moses was herding sheep, and he seen a bush burning. He says, I'll turn aside and turn back, and the bush did not burn up. And God spoke to Moses. He says, you will lead my people out of Egypt. And at that time, when Moses and him got done with the conversation, they found that Moses went and he did 10 plagues unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart and hardened his heart and hardened his heart. He would say, yeah, you can take him. No, you can't. And he would harden his heart some more. It says God let his hardened heart be hardened even further. God pulled his wisdom away from Pharaoh. And the Passover began, and the firstborn of all the Egyptians was killed. And Egypt then came falling down from the pinnacle of its height of power and went down. Moses led the people out. And as Moses led them out, the Egyptian armies drowned in the Red Sea chasing the Egyptians. We see further that Satan will try and stop anybody from serving the Lord God early on, and even before they would have a chance to serve Christ himself. You take a person that accepts Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and the first thing they will find is that Satan will attack them. And Satan does this in many ways. We find that Satan attacked, trying to kill the baby Jesus in Herod. When Herod heard that the king of the Jews had been born and the wise men had taken a different route back home, he went and he took his army and he says, you go to Bethlehem area and you kill all the baby boys 2 years old or younger, because I don't want anybody to take over my kingdom. I am the king here, and I am the one that I want them to worship. We find Herod died shortly after that, and his brother or son took over, and that didn't go so well there either. Yet God protected Jesus Christ by having Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt, which already had been taken down from their pinnacle of height. And we see that Rome at that time took and controlled Israel. We see, go further, and we see in 1919 the Balfour Declaration. Britain was at its pinnacle of power, and at that time they said the sun never set on the British Empire. But to show you God's will against the people that will go against his people, his chosen people, the Balfour Declaration says, Israel, you will get all of your land and as a nation. This didn't happen until 1948, and when that happened, then we seen England turned and says, no, we can't give it to you. We'll only give you part of it. And from that time forward, I can remember reading in the paper that the headlines were, the sun sets on the British Empire. The Britain had so much territory around the world that the sun shone on it 24 hours a day. But because they would not stand up to the Balfour Declaration of 1919 to the Jewish people, God let the sun set. God has made the United States one of the most powerful nations in the world. And we see it has been the most prosperous. It has helped the most people. And it goes on and on and on. Today, we find people in the United States that don't believe in Jesus Christ. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. They deny that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. They deny that Jesus is the Son of the living God. They deny that Jesus, you have to believe on Jesus and come to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus' blood will come down and cover your sins when you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. We find that through all of this, that the United States has sinned grievously. If we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, we find that God told Israel, and he's telling us, that if we come to God, God says, if the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and come to me and repent of their sin and their wickedness, I will heal their land and heal their sicknesses. Yet we find even in Minnesota that one lady that represents part of Minnesota says, we don't need prayer. And she uses some very explicit words that's not presentable to speak. And she says, we want action. You see, God will give her and give us action. And his action may not be what we want if we do not have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We find that the people of Jesus' day asked him, what should we do when we take and want to do God's will? And Jesus said, God's will is that you believe on his only begotten Son, that in his begotten Son, that you believe God has sent him down, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus says, my Father sent me into the world. My Father sent me to do this work. I would physically rather not do it, but spiritually it has to be done. Jesus was born. He's the first fruits that has been raised from the dead in a more glorified body one that can do everything we will do when we are in eternity. You see, we have today the time in which to not harden our hearts, but to turn to Jesus Christ. And as we turn to Jesus Christ, we have him for our personal Lord and Savior. Let us call upon God and repent of our sin. Let us call upon him in humility and realizing that as we repent of our sin, God will take away our sin. He will heal our land as we pray to him, and he says he will hear us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto God the Father but by me." And we find that in that, we cannot come to God the Father without going through Jesus Christ. "All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth," Jesus says, "all authority." And it's through the name of Jesus that we can be saved. "Do not harden your heart," we're told, as in the days of provocation in the wilderness. Do not harden your heart, but accept Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, call upon him while he is near. Let us then realize that we must turn to God, give our hearts and lives to him. If you need help, or you want to talk to a minister, or talk to myself, you can call me at the Roseau Free Lutheran Church of Roseau at 463-2385, or my cell phone, 218-689-9740. And we can talk, and I will do and try and show you why it is necessary for you to have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that when you're called out of this world, you will have eternity with Jesus Christ and not a separation from God forever and forever in darkness of night. Let us at this time turn back, and we'll ask Rhonda if she would be willing to sing us another song. Rhonda?
For me, my love.
Of you for listening. Next Sunday, we will be having another broadcast again at 11 a.m. And we welcome you to attend the broadcast and to listen in to hear the Word of God in its truth and entirety. Thank you again for listening, and God bless you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us, watching over us, and giving us a wonderful week. Help us, O Lord, to serve you and you alone, not only today, but all the days of our life. Help us to walk the way we should, that your glory is seen in all that we think, say, or do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.